Hey friends, I'm Naomi and glad to have you here listening to A Creative Purpose. This space is here to encourage and support creatives leave their soul-sucking jobs so they can earn a living doing what they love and live an adventurous life. I have some great conversations with other creatives where they share their journey and how they got to where they are today and the lessons learned along the way. I'll also share my story and what I've learned and am learning on this beautiful, sometimes difficult road to living a life I love. Welcome, friends, to another episode of A Creative Purpose. Today, I have a friend here named Sarah, and I'm excited to get to know Sarah a little bit more. I kind of have been on the fringe of what she's working on, and what I do know, it's pretty awesome stuff. So I'm excited just to have a conversation with her and how she got to this point on her journey and who she helps. So Sarah, welcome. Would you mind introducing yourself?
Sure. I'm Sarah. Thank you for having me, first of all. So I'm an EFT practitioner, emotional freedom techniques, also known as tapping. I help people overcome their phobias. So whether you're a horse rider who's struggling to get back in the saddle after traumatic fall, or you're an actor who really struggles with nerves pre-audition, or just struggles with a more traditional phobia like driving or spiders or flying, I can help you move to a calm and confident place.
That's awesome. So like my hesitation, not hesitation, I don't like speaking in public. So is that
that's the number one fear, I think, of, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because is that pretty much what you consider a phobia, is like a fear or something other that has happened to somebody to make it a phobia? What would you consider?
Yeah, that's
that?
A great question. I mean, I think the technical definition of a phobia is a sort of a paralyzing fear, right? So it's kind of an extreme fear. So I would say a lot of people don't like speaking in public, right? Like that's a very common fear. If it's a phobia, it's something that is so extreme where it's really becoming a problem, right? Like I have clients who will turn down job opportunities or turn down speaking engagement because they just can't do that, or they can't get up on the stage, or they can't imagine hosting a meeting of that many people. So that's when they know it's stopping them. It's stopping them in their life in some way. And they want to overcome it because they want to grow in their job or they want to do bigger things. And then they're feeling really stuck and stopped. So I think for me, that's the edge there, whether or not you feel like that fear of speaking in public is stopping you, right? Like you're hosting a podcast. So I'd argue that, you know, you're managing that fear well, right? You're not feeling stuck around it. So for me, that's the kind of the distinction.
Oh, that's good to know. Cause like, I think I don't have any phobias right now, but who knows? Like, can they come on suddenly through traumatic experiences? Because you did say you work with people that have been riding horses and after a bad fall. So that can kind of create some kind of trauma in somebody's life, or how does that work?
Yeah, exactly. So if you're, for example, I have horse riders who, you know, as a rider, I'm a huge rider myself. And so as a rider, falls happen. Like that's just part of what happens, right? 90% of falls, you're fine, you get up and you're totally fine. And I have clients who have fallen lots of times and have hurt themselves a bunch of times. And for some reason, they've had a fall and this one is different, right? They're now back in the saddle and they have this anxiety that they just can't shake. I had that experience as a rider where I had a fall. I didn't even really hurt myself. And for some reason, like I couldn't let go of it. It was just kind of this low level anxiety that like I couldn't shake and I didn't understand it. It was super annoying because it was just like getting in the way of something I've always loved. I'd always been a super confident rider. So it was confusing because it was like, why is this one different? Like I've had worse falls than this, right? And it wasn't until I kind of tapped and kind of uncovered like what was happening underneath that, right? And sometimes it's, you know, the way our body processes trauma. We kind of process it through our senses. So it's almost like some piece of that trauma is like stuck in your body. And it could be something as simple as like something you saw in that fall or visual that's kind of stuck. Like I have clients who, for example, you know, they can remember certain parts of the fall so clearly, right? They can see the color as the horse is falling on top of them, they see the color, or they see someone's face, terrified face as they're falling. You know, they remember these parts of traumas in very clear moments, mm-hmm. right? And that is a signal that your body is really holding onto that information, because it's important, because it's dangerous and it might happen again, right? What happens once you start tapping is those memories, you still remember it, but they become less clear, they become fuzzy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a long-winded answer to your question.
No, but
so,
that's awesome.
So the way, so you hold, so what tapping does is it processes out those kind of specific body memories, those traumatic memories that your body's holding on to.
That's good to know. Yeah, it does. And it's nice to know that there's a way through like traumatic moments or experiences and stuff like that. So how did you find tapping as one of those, what do you want to call it? Modalities to like help you through your fall?
Yeah. So I'd always been a tapper. Okay. Well, not always. I would say for a decade on and off, I found it through Gabby Bernstein, who's a kind of a spiritual self-development person. She introduced me to tapping, and I would just tap in my everyday life sometimes, right? When I was stressed, or I found it super helpful as a modality. And then the reason actually in that, I really worked it in that particular fall. So I went through how do I tell this story in a succinct way? But I'd had this minor fall riding. I'd had many falls before. And then I was having this low level anxiety thing that I couldn't shake. I didn't know what was going on. It was really frustrating. I'd had some personal things happening. Riding was like my one thing that I loved, right? Like it was like the passion. It was like my self-care. It was just, you know, so important to me. And it was being ruined by this like anxiety that I didn't understand. And like, I couldn't figure it out. Like I couldn't think my way out of it, which is like something I tell my clients all the time. Like I couldn't think my way out of it. Mm-hmm. And until I worked with a tapping practitioner, what we uncovered was that the thought that kept coming up for me was that it could happen in any moment. Like anything could happen. I could ride it. Anything could happen. I could just have something. I didn't. And even that was like, well, I know that, right? I accept as a rider, things happen. But what I didn't realize was that thought was connected to the fact of something that I thought I'd really healed in myself and clearly hadn't, was that my husband, a year prior to this, had a massive stroke. And I thought, I mean, obviously we were still dealing with the repercussions of that, but I thought I had dealt with the kind of trauma of that moment. And in my life, it felt, yes, my life was still kind of chaotic post that huge transition, but I thought I had dealt with the trauma of that moment, which was literally Christmas morning, as my son and I are opening presents, my husband has a stroke right in front of us, right? So yeah. I thought I had kind of handled that traumatic thing. Of course, that was traumatic. And it had been relatively handled, but it was showing up in my riding, where it was literally like, this is another moment where I could be riding and out of nowhere, the horse could buck or go crazy and I could fall and I could die. I mean, or like really hurt myself. Mm-hmm. And it was because I had somehow in my brain, like my body had collapsed now, horse riding with it could happen with it. It's reminding it of this stroke moment where like my husband has a stroke out of nowhere, it could happen. And so my body was feeling suddenly that riding was now unsafe. And if I hadn't tapped, I never would have kind of connected that piece, because to me riding was so unrelated to the stroke, right? Like it was totally an unrelated thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that was once I'd made that connection and I got back again, suddenly instantly riding was fun again. It was like totally gone, that anxiety and that stress. And that's what made me, it was such a tangible release to move from this place of anxiety to like, oh, here it is. This is what I love. Oh, we're back, right? Mm-hmm. And I suddenly then just became so passionate about helping others move from those places, right? From that feeling of stuck and anxiety to just like freedom and peace and calm again. So that kind of really motivated my journey into wanting to help others. Mm-hmm. As I said, I do help a lot of riders specifically, but also other people move from that place of kind of stuck to freedom.
Yeah. That sounds like an amazing journey. Like, just linking events in our life, I think it's like I mean, when you feel that aha, like, that makes complete sense. Like you said, such freedom to then move forward and enjoy life again on a different level in a new way. And so like with the tapping, is this something that you do like daily, or I don't, for somebody that does not know anything about tapping, what is it? And what does that look like as far as working together? Yeah,
totally. So tapping at its simplest is a stress reduction technique. It combines traditional sort of modern psychology, right? Exposure therapy, cognitive therapy with ancient Eastern practice of acupressure. So what that looks like is literally you're talking out loud about something that's stressful or traumatic, and you're tapping these acupressure points on your face and body as you're talking. And these acupressure points, I think of them as like little magical off switches to your cortisol, which is your stress hormone. So as you're talking about something traumatic, you're telling the body it's safe. You're telling the body by tapping to calm down. And it's almost like your brain can't handle, I'm stressed, but you're telling me to calm down. And almost like it disconnects that connection. And so you're literally rewiring your brain. So you will remember these stressful things, but they'll lose that kind of traumatic trigger. Like I'll remember the fall, but it won't feel triggering. Or I'll remember it, but it'll feel kind of slightly fuzzy, or it's not as important because my brain is now no longer alarmed by that memory. So you can work on it for very specific traumatic events, right? Whether something very specific you want to work on, like, whether it's grief or a traumatic, I have a client who, was in a car accident, right, recently, and now she's nervous about driving. That's a very specific aim and goal for us working together, right? And we'll do a bunch of sessions together on that specific piece so she can get back in the car and drive again in a calm and confident manner. And then in terms of like, so the specific reasons why you would work with a practitioner, right, for kind of those heightened, more traumatic moments. And then in terms of just every day, like it's just a great tool just for, if you're a parent, if you're just any sort of day-to-day stress, right? There's so many ways you can do it just to kind of calm yourself. And certainly all of us coming out of this 2 years, still in this epic pandemic, we all have this level of stress, right? And we know stress is a killer, right? So I'll give you an example. Like for me recently, one of the ways I use it is one of the things I struggle with, again, just like a day-to-day thing, is like transitions in the sense of, like if I finish as a client meeting, like maybe I've just coached a client, we've done a session, and then I have like, I'm gonna have some lunch, and then I've got some admin stuff to do, right? Like, and I love what I do. Like, I love what I do, but I'll have lunch and then I'll kind of want to get on my phone. I'll kind of want to dilly dally. And I'll just suddenly, I'm like, oh my God, 45 minutes is gone. I meant to be doing like admin stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'll use tapping to just literally kind of, I'll finish lunch and I'll just do a round of tapping saying, even though I'm feeling like I just want to procrastinate right now and I don't want to do this, I'm choosing, right? So I'll just kind of like almost like express whatever's coming up to kind of set the tone to allow myself to kind of focus and calm down and reconnect to myself before I then kind of take my next action.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's like, right, it literally might just look like, I really don't want to do this admin stuff right now. I don't want to do it. I hate doing admin stuff. It's really annoying. I'd much prefer to just scroll Instagram. I know I'm procrastinating right now. I really want to procrastinate, right? Like just kind of expressing that resistance. And because again, I'm tapping, it actually allows that resistance to move through me as opposed to getting kind of like stuck in it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds like a really good strategy because I work with like creatives. And right, everything is a squirrel. So yeah. It's
and
just
there's no taskmaster, right? Being like after lunch. By the way, Sarah, you said you're gonna do admin work starting at 2 o'clock. It's 2 o'clock, right? Like I'm that person to myself, right? So it can be challenging to like kind of do those some of those tasks that like aren't so fun and like like the admin stuff that's like, ugh.
Yeah.
So
not like that.
And also like as a parent, like I use it all the time as like I always use the example of like my son slamming the door in my face, right? And it takes like everything in my body not to be like, open the door and be like, you can't, and sort of yell back, right? Not helpful. So it's like, I'm just going to tap and be like, oh my God, I can't believe he yelled. I can't believe he yelled at me. I'm so annoyed right now. Super annoyed. I just want to like open up and yell at him. And like, I can, again, it's a way to express what I'm feeling and allow it to kind of dissipate and pass through me, as opposed to, and then I get to calm down just, and again, just in like 2 minutes, a minute, mm-hmm. I get to calm down and then I get to open the door and choose how I want to react to my son, as opposed to be reactive and just like probably screaming at him, which would probably be my instinct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It gives you a moment to just kind of pause, calm your nervous system, and then make a new choice, or make a choice that's an integrity with how you want to be in the world.
Right. More centered and
yeah.
Going forward. Exactly. Yeah. That's awesome. So like, you've been doing this for years, and then you said you were doing it for your personal thing, but then you had your fall and then you wanted to help people with it. So what has that journey been like for you to kind of see the benefits that you've had, but then actually study and practice and now build your coaching practice around it? What has that journey been like for you?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, to backtrack a little bit, you know, I was an actor for years. So I was an actor, okay, first and foremost. Nice. When my husband had his stroke, I was an actor. And then, you know, suddenly it was like, you know, he could no longer work. I was full-time sort of managing his therapy post that. And I just, you know, I suddenly had to go from making probably, I don't know, 30%, 40% of our income to all our income. Right. And so I was literally like, I have to make money like ASAP, right? Like, I don't have a lot of choices here. So I started doing virtual assistant work for some really wonderful creatives. I started coaching actors, which was great. I'm so grateful for that work. But I also knew it wasn't what I wanted to do long-term. So once I'd kind of come out of the, you know, was able to kind of come out of that, I don't know, year and a half post my husband's stroke and started to kind of see big picture again and had the ability to kind of take a step back and be like, okay, we're out of like sort of survival mode, emergency mode a little bit now. And now I can take a step back and kind of be like, okay, what do I really want to do like long-term? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if I'm really honest, you know, I was pretty sure tapping was what I wanted to do, but I wasn't 100% certain, right? I thought like, yeah, I think I should get certified. Like, something's telling me, but I wasn't 100%, to be honest. Like, I really was not sure about it. And I was like, well, I had this one mentor. I was like, well, I'll ask her about it. So I talked to her about it. She was actually like, I don't think tapping's it. I don't think so. I don't know. I don't think it's it for you. And I was like, huh, I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. And so that's what she said. Then I talked to another mentor of mine, and she was like, well, what, you know, what's the worst case scenario here? And I was like, well, worst case scenario, I do the certification program. I get even better at doing something I love for me. Like, that's, and I've spent some money, but like, that's kind of worst case scenario. And she's a big fan of, which I'm also a big fan of now, of, you know, kind of, as opposed to staying in that indecision place, like taking action, right? Yeah. Taking that step and letting that inform you, right? Because she was right. I think I could have stayed in that, I don't know, should I do it? Should I not do it? Like, even longer. Mm-hmm. And she was just like, leap before you're ready. Like, you don't know if this is it, but just like, make a choice and like, and that will inform, right? Mm-hmm. And so, to be honest, like, I was like, okay. And I just sort of said yes. And I wasn't sure in terms of doing that certification program, if it was the right choice. And then on like day one of the certification, I was like, oh my God, so the right choice. This is it. 100%. Like, I'm 1,000% in. This is 1,000% right. But what I did learn from that was that, yeah, sometimes it's just like making the choice and doing it. And that will give you an answer a lot faster than like, again, like thinking through it and like debating, right? Yeah. So that was, I'm very grateful for her advice, mm-hmm. coaching around that. So yeah. So within like, you know, day one, I was like all in. I was so, yeah, this is 100% the right choice. And then in terms of like, you know, growing that business, you know, one of the things I love about Dallas, which is how we met, right, in the mm-hmm. Hive, is she talks about like, you know, normalizing the roller coaster. And, you know, starting your own business is, it's ups and downs, you know, it's like great and it's gratifying and then it's really hard. And it's, you know, it's definitely like, it's a roller coaster. Anyone I think who says it's not is, as Dallas says, not giving you the full story. but yeah. It's been, yeah, it's been really gratifying. Like I, have a client recently who is like starting to ride again after she'd had a fall. And it's just so great to have, yeah, to be able to help people, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's funny because as an actor, years ago, I sort of had this realization that the movies I love to watch and the stories I love to tell as an actor and the roles I most gravitated towards and loved doing were all about characters who were kind of stuck and struggling with something, whether they were like stuck in a country and couldn't get out, or they were like stuck in a marriage and couldn't get out, or maybe they were stuck in a job they didn't like, right? It was always these stories around like characters who were stuck and kind of looking to break free and couldn't somehow, right? And I realized like in tapping, I was like, oh my God, it's literally the same thing. Like it's literally a much more immediate way for me to help people. Like as an actor, it was like, I tell these stories and the movie comes out and there's no sort of like sense of it happening. Although that's the kind of point of the story. But tapping for me is this much more immediate way of supporting people on that journey. And mm-hmm. I get to really see that kind of in real time in front of me. And yeah, it's been incredibly gratifying in terms of really supporting people in that way. And yeah, I just adore working like one-on-one with clients. So yeah. It's been a journey and it's not always easy, but it's been very gratifying for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I can see how the work you do is so gratifying and just like seeing that freedom, right? That you've experienced and seeing somebody else get that. It's just like, whoa, yes, here we go, you know? And so it kind of outweighs, not like the, you know, hard times are any easier, but it's just like, okay, this is what I'm working towards to see more of that brought into the world. And I think that's a beautiful place to be with your heart, is just like a total service to people out there. And I love how you, saw that connection within your acting, you know, like went back to that and how, cause I always think like nothing is ever wasted, you know, cause some people are like, should I go to school for this? Well, it's not ever going to be wasted because most likely it'll come back around in another way, the skills that totally. You learned or what you worked in and stuff like that. So yeah. I think it's
really well, and that's a whole nother story too, in terms of like my transition, because if you had told me 5 years ago that like I wouldn't be an actor anymore, I'd be like, no, 100% not. No, that would never happen. I'll always be an actor. Like I define myself, like I am an actor. Like that was everything to me. You know, and, you know, after my husband's stroke, it was so funny because, I mean, this is going to sound so crass, but my husband had his stroke and I was in the last four for this massive commercial. It's like massive nationwide commercial with Kevin Bacon playing squash with Kevin Bacon. And I'd had like these epic callbacks for it. I was down to the last four. It was like a whole thing. They had these extra auditions for it, like literally like 2 days before Christmas. It was absurd because they're trying to cast this thing. My husband has a stroke on Christmas morning. Like 4 days later, my husband is still like in the ICU in the hospital. My agent calls me about like, you're still on hold for this commercial. And I was like, my husband just had a stroke. And my mom was like, but you have to do the commercial. You got it. Cause that's money. And he probably can't work. Who knows what, you know? And I was like, I can't, what? And I didn't get it anyway. Mm-hmm. So anyway, my point being is just like, after my husband's stroke, I remember like, how am I going to be an act? Like, how can I possibly be an actor anymore? Like, I can't, like, how does that happen? And then I did nothing for my career that year, like nothing. Like I could not do anything. I had no space for anything. But all this work would just come to me. Like I would just book this and I would book this thing and I was doing nothing. And it was like, the universe was like, here's all the things, even though you're not doing, you know, I booked all these industrials, which are kind of like commercials for in-house. So no one sees them out in the world, but they pay really well. And it's really easy and they're fun. And I booked a couple of co-stars, but I did nothing that year in terms of my own stuff. Like I just had no space for it. Mm-hmm. And then the pandemic happens. Right. And it's like everything shuts down. And I suddenly realized, like, oh, like I don't actually miss it, surprisingly, at all, which is super crazy. And I was like, oh, that's weird. And then as soon as I started, you know, being certified at tapping, it was like, oh my God, that skill set is so transferable. Like what I think my skills are as a practitioner are really the same skills I have as an actor. Like I'm very empathetic. I'm a really good listener. I can, you know, you never know in a session where it's going to go, right? Like it is kind of this improv where you're kind of trusting your instincts and you're listening to what the client wants and you're kind of, you could have navigating and you're kind of guiding, but you're letting the client guide. So it is almost like this kind of improv situation, right? Like if you can imagine. And again, because my kind of, it felt like such an overlap as like why I was an actor. And then as sort of like, again, the stories I want to tell and how that transferred as a practitioner being kind of the same thing. And suddenly it was like, I didn't need to act anymore. Like I didn't have any interest in it. And yeah, it kind of fulfilled that same need in a much more gratifying way. And in a way that frankly fit my lifestyle now, right? Compared to like, in terms of acting, well, logistically, just from a logistical perspective, I couldn't figure out how to make that work. You know, the personal situation I was in. Yeah. And then in the same way, the universe was like, we're going to stop sending you auditions as well. Now the world's opening up. And it's like, we're just going to naturally shut that down for you. Well, you don't have to worry about it. Whereas at one point I like, yeah. So I felt kind of from a woo-woo perspective, very supported in that decision too, because the universe was kind of like, yeah, so we're done sending you auditions as well. So that's perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's interesting because again, if just someone had told me like 5 years ago, I would be an actor. I would have bet against that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. And it's so funny too, because people have said to me all the time, like, oh, you're not an actor anymore. I'm so sorry. Are you okay? And I'm like, oh yeah, I'm great. Because I think there's that thing, right? Of like, I don't know, just some sort of thing of like, oh, you didn't make it or you didn't, or what is that, whatever that means, right? Like I just had a lot of actors be like, oh, I'm so sorry. Are you okay? And I was like, oh no, I'm totally great. So
Yeah. And that's the beauty of it. Like we get to change. Like, I feel like our purpose never changes because it's like, my definition is what you're good at and what you enjoy doing.
Totally.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like,
totally,
that can be different in different arenas, but it's still living out your purpose because it's not like this big thing, right? It's just, what am I good at and what do I enjoy doing? And it happened to be that season of acting for you. And now this season of your, you know, practice. And so, and who knows, right? That might change again in another.
Oh, yeah, totally. And I'd never say never. I might decide, right. Yeah, later on, acting, who knows? Yeah. I mean, it certainly could come back at some point. Yeah. Never.
So,
but yeah, I love that the way you describe that. But yes. Cause I really feel that way that my purpose as an actor and why I was an actor is so, that purpose is exactly the same now. It's like that stuck to freedom. And now it's just in a much more tangible way. And there is that very clear through line. So yeah, I think that's really, I think that's true.
Sure. Yeah. So it's fun to see that. I'm just always so interested in acting because I'm not even close to that world. And so just talking to different people that have experienced that kind of life and how it does kind of like what you're saying translate into kind of maybe, do we want to call this entrepreneurship or, expressing yourself in a new creative way, I think is an interesting combo, dynamic, whatever. So like, what lessons did you learn in acting that are kind of carrying you through this business building thing?
Yeah, that's like, a great question. I mean, I think actors are kind of natural entrepreneurs because there's so much of that skill set that's transferable, right? Like as an actor, you are kind of the CEO of like your business, you know, and you have, agents and a manager who, you know, are kind of working for you on your behalf, but like you're kind of like in charge of your own marketing and your own, your own finances and your own, you know, you are kind of running your own business. And I think actors, there's so many skill sets are transferable. They typically tend to be people who are, well, not, I shouldn't make gross generalizations, but we are generally, it's a little bit of generalization. Actors are people who have to get used to rejection and the ups and downs of, you know, one out of every huge number of auditions you actually book, we can get called back for. So that kind of sets you up for the entrepreneurship journey, which is a lot of like reaching out or reaching out, whether it's like reaching out to podcasts and being guests on podcasts or reaching out for collaborations and being okay with a lot of no's along the way, right? And being okay mm-hmm. with that. I mean, the number of people who I would say who weren't actors, who I'd have conversations with, who would just immediately say, oh my God, I could never take that much rejection. I could never do that. I could never mm-hmm. do that, right? And actors, like, we're used to no's. Like, no's, like, we expect no's most of the time. So I think that part of being an actor is super just a little bit of a thicker skin, or you develop, hopefully, a mindset with which no's don't throw you anymore. So mm-hmm. I think that is super helpful to an entrepreneur. I think we're used to talking about ourselves, promoting ourselves, right? There's that piece we're used to kind of having to sell ourselves a little bit, right? Which is you have to get comfortable doing as an entrepreneur in terms of selling your product or selling yourself as a coach or whatever that looks like, whatever your business is. So that's like a natural skill set that like actors are used to. I think there's a lot of, and then the sort of like, you know, from a social media place, or we're used to being on camera and, you know, mm-hmm. that piece of it, like there's so much, I think, as an actor that's transferable to kind of running, like, yeah, entrepreneur. Like I would argue that actors kind of are entrepreneurs. You know, I think the actors that I see the most successful are kind of have entrepreneur spirit. Like they're comfortable reaching out to, you know, TV directors and producers that they want to connect with and meet with. And they do kind of take the reins of their career in that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, right. You said earlier, like taking action, and right. That's where it's at. It's taking the action to actually see what will happen. And so I think, yeah, as actors, you wouldn't be acting without that initial getting an audition or something like that. And I think that's the same for entrepreneurs or creatives that want to see their work out in the place. Well, first you got to do it. Like it's an idea first, but it actually has to be made, you know, to be put into the world for other people to see it and notice it and experience it. So I think that's part of my work, right? We, as creatives, we sit and we think a lot. And sometimes we get stuck in those thoughts, like this or that, or which idea should I do? Which one would bring the most enjoyment? Could I do that over and over again? And so really just deciding on that one idea, like you said earlier, and taking action on it, because you can always, it's going to change as time goes on. We're going to adjust and get better, or just be like, nope, this was a bad idea, moving on to the next thing. And so the more I talk to different entrepreneurs or listen to different podcasts, it's just like entrepreneurs fail continuously, right? Totally, and so it's like getting comfortable with that, what we want to call failure, but really I think it's just learning. And so,
100%, yeah.
Yeah. So how have you kind of come against different learnings and had some aha moments with them? Like anything that you'd want to share with us?
In terms of my journey? Just in terms of?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I mean, it's, yeah. I mean, last year, fail faster was one of my big, like, kind of mantras of the year, which is kind of speaking to what you're speaking to, of just really, trying to spend less time in the decision place and just like take action, and that will inform you faster. Right. Yeah. And as you said, like, there's no such thing as failure. You just kind of learn something. I guess I'll speak to the lens of every year I choose a word. Of the year, which is something Dwan Johnson, who's a buddy of mine, talks about a lot. He's a fantastic mindset coach for actors. And mm-hmm. my word for this year was badass.
Nice.
So, and I specifically chose that word because, for example, I told my husband, I was like, yeah, my word of the year is going to be badass. And he was like, oh God. And I was like, no, why? You don't like it? Why? He's like, it doesn't sound like you. And I was like, exactly. That is why I chose it. Because last year, my word was supported and I just was still kind of in this kind of gentle year. And it was sort of like getting kind of a little bit ducks in a row. And it was still kind of still a little bit post-traumatic post my husband's stroke, even though we were kind of mm-hmm. 3+ years out of that point, but it was, you know, still kind of in recovery mode a little bit. And this year for me was really about like stepping up and like taking bigger action and being braver and being bolder. And so I actually don't have it on right now, but I normally have a bracelet with badass written on it because awesome. It's kind of like a reminder for me. Yeah. To leap before I'm ready to take that. What is it? There's that great quote Matt Damon says in, You Can Buy a Zoo, that it only takes, you only actually need like 30 seconds of courage, mm-hmm. 20 yep. seconds of courage. Right. So one of my kind of mantras of this year has been this word badass. And like, as a reminder to kind of, yeah, jump before I'm ready to say yes, even if I'm like, God, I've never done that before, but sure. Yes, I'll do it. And I'll figure it out later. Right. Like, mm-hmm. Like I've definitely had that experience where it's been like, people are like, could you teach a workshop on XYZ? And I'm like, yes. And then I'm like, oh my God, I got to teach a workshop on XYZ. Okay, hold on. Let me figure out, you know, it's like saying yes, before I kind of, yeah, just say, almost like saying yes first and figuring it out after.
Right.
So that's been something I've really been practicing. You know, there's all those statistics, right? Especially about the women. I'm going to generalize it and get it wrong slightly, but it's something like if in a job interview, right? Like men typically will, sort of apply for the job, even though they don't think they're qualified. Well, women will typically be like, oh, I'm not qualified. I wouldn't apply. Right.
Yeah.
Women actually have more prefrontal cortex in their brain matter than men do. So we do think things more because we literally have more brain matter in our brain in that part of our brain. So some of it is like, that's why we do that is we overthink because we have more brain matter there. Mm-hmm. But I'm really trying to, lean into that. Yes, first, and I will get qualified in the meantime, where I just say yes first and trust that I can figure it out. I'm someone who is very resourceful. I'm very committed. I will absolutely deliver and would never, you know, like I'm very in integrity in terms of like showing how I show up. Right. Mm-hmm. So if I say yes to teach a workshop on this and I've done it before, like you can bet your ass that I will figure out how to do it. And I will, you know, deliver a fantastic workshop, but I'm going to really in the practice of saying yes first and then kind of, yeah, backing it up afterwards, if that makes sense.
That's awesome. I love that so much. Like, yeah. What's it going to hurt? Right. Like it's not going to hurt anything. You're going to learn something from it and most likely come back with great reviews, with helping somebody that needed to hear what you had to say or share. And so it's like, I love that so much. So nice word.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I got to go find my bracelet. I don't know why. I don't have it on today.
Yeah. That's cool. As we kind of finish up here, is there anything else you'd like to share with people about your practice or anything to help people?
I mean, if EFT is something that, you know, your listeners, you know, resonate with and someone wants to work with me, I would love to connect. I think even if you don't have kind of a specific issue that you feel like called to work on, I think just as an everyday tool, just as a stress reduction technique can be so helpful, right? Like I love doing EFT, like before I go to bed, it really helps me sleep better just to do like a couple of rounds before bed to kind of release any kind of stress of the day or any of those things I kind of can't stop thinking about. Maybe there's that one thing that didn't go well that's still niggling a little bit on me, you know, a little bit I'm thinking about, right? To release any kind of just release anything of the day, like before I go to bed, like that's a really great way to use EFT. So just if that is a tool that just even in your everyday life that you want to start using, I just always urge people to do a couple of sessions with the practitioner first to really learn the technique. Mm-hmm. One of the mistakes I see with EFT is that, there can be at first this nervousness to voice the unwanted feelings, right? Because a concern that if you start saying things like, I'm really frustrated and I'm angry, like it's going to make it worse. But because again, you're tapping, it actually allows it to pass through you as opposed to kind of grow. And the mistake I see people make a lot is that they go right to like, almost like doing EFT is like a Band-Aid. Like they feel frustrated and they're saying, I feel good. I feel calm. I feel much, you know, like you're putting the positive on too soon. And you can absolutely use EFT is like affirmation tapping and like positive stuff first. Absolutely, you can, but you have to like clear out that other stuff first, right? Like you have to clear out, like, I'm feeling frustrated, I'm feeling annoyed. Then you start to feel calm. And then you can say, okay, great. I choose to feel calm. I feel calm in my heart, and I'm, you know, whatever that looks like for you. And you could absolutely use it for that kind of affirmative, positive tapping, but you have to just kind of clear out the other stuff first, right? Mm-hmm. Louise Hay has that great quote that she says, when you clean your house, you have to see the dirt first, right? Mm. And tapping is that way. So you have to kind of like, just see what's really there first before you can kind of put a positive spin on it. Otherwise you're just kind of putting like a bandaid on like an infected wound kind of thing. No. So I always say, just even if you just want to use it in everyday life, just like work with a practitioner just for one or two sessions, just to kind of really learn the technique in a really helpful way. Mm-hmm. So if that's you, yeah, I'd love to connect.
Yeah, that's awesome. Where can they find you to connect with you? Where do you like to hang out?
Well, one of the things I talk about, like new things, one of the things I said I would never do was join Instagram. And at the beginning of this year, I finally joined Instagram. So they can find me there at Sarah Louise Lilly. I have a bunch of free content there that is kind of put out about tapping. And I'm kind of creating a community there. So they can find me on IG. And my email is just emotionalfreedomwithsarah. So if you're interested in reaching out, you can just emotionalfreedomwithsarah@gmail.com.
Okay. Reach out that way as well. That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty exciting that you got on IG. I mean, all these changes coming up within these last few years. It's like,
I know.
Who knows what's next and how that's going to look. So,
well, it was switching. I mean, that's like really switching my mindset around that. Like I was just thought of like another like time suck or just like kind of like promotion thing. Right. But then if you switch my mindset to it's really about creating community and another way to kind of, share tapping in these little 1 minute reels or these, you know, giving some people just one little thing to think about. Like just, it's just kind of, I had to just kind of switch my mindset around it. And now, I'm not very consistent yet, to be honest, but, I enjoyed, creating community there. So.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. And it's like, you never, I think with your heart coming from that service kind of place of just like, somebody may need this today. And so I'm going to create it. Yes, like that's where I have to come from. Cause I'm like, oh, I hate this grind. And so it's like, I have to get deeper into why are you doing this to begin with? And then, well, somebody out here needs that encouragement or that thought or that whatever that, has been placed on my heart to share. And so, I got to share.
And I've experienced that. I literally this morning, I had someone's Carrie Perry, who's a social media expert. She posted something and I literally, my comment to her on her post was, I needed this today. Yeah. Like I literally, like she was just posting around like, sort of living the life you love now. Right.
Yeah.
And anyway, and I just wrote literally my comment. I was literally, I needed this today. So I've experienced that from the other side. So that's 100% true. I think that's really true.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing all this information. I know it's new to me and I appreciate you breaking it down for me so that I understand it and, are more curious about what that looks like as I, go through my own life journey. And I think it's like an awesome kind of skill set. Would you call it a skill kind of like to go back to?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I mean, you can work with a specific event, but this is an everyday tool, another way to kind of help process unwanted feelings or take a moment, right, to process whatever's happening so you can take a pause. So yeah, I think it's a modality that you can literally use in your own life in a very easy 1 to 3 minute way to literally use as a stress reduction tool. They say 1 hour of EFT lowers your cortisol by 45%.
Oh, wow.
So if you work with a practitioner, even if you do whatever, literally you're literally almost halving your stress.
That's amazing.
So, yeah.
so you'll be busy. Lots of calls coming your way.
It was such awesome. A pleasure. Thank you so much for chatting.
Thank you, Sarah. If you found this episode to be helpful, please feel free to share it. And if you'd like to leave a rating and a review, I'd appreciate that. If you would like to connect, you can find me on Instagram and Facebook at A Creative Purpose. If you have any specific questions you'd like me to talk on, you can leave them in my DMs.